This is part five of the series entitled, They Refuse to Listen to God. We're going to return to the last area of Scripture in Romans that we were covering at the end of part four last Sabbath in order to remind everyone of the context, the flow of this particular series. Romans chapter 3, verse 11. There is none who understands, there is none who seeks after God. Now, Paul was addressing the world at that particular time, and mankind in general, frankly, and that's the way of mankind. People don't really know what they're looking for anyway. They don't know God. They don't know what God is like, but especially within the area of Judaism at this particular time and what he was trained in, reared in, and so forth. Even there, he was bringing out that the world was unique in that respect, that this was the world he was in. But he was sent to the Gentiles. Nevertheless, there was still that was there that he was making known and making known that as far as that part of the world, they're not seeking after God. But again, we understand much that people can't until God begins to at least reveal truth to them. And if they don't have that ability or opportunity, there is none when they hear of the truth. As an example, from Paul or whatever, they're not seeking it. They don't want it. Those on Mars Hill really didn't. They listened to him. They gave him that courtesy for a moment in time there because of the world and how educated they knew as soon as Paul started speaking that he was a highly educated man. It couldn't be hidden. And he had incredible training. So some of those kinds of things you pick up on quickly, and certainly they did there, if you want to talk about there in Athens on Mars Hill in that particular area, and those who sat there and discussed various things as they did at that time, and he was telling them about, in essence, that there was this plaque or whatever to the unknown God that was built there, and he was starting to talk to them about, but he's revealing here now, they didn't want to hear, they didn't want to listen then. So no one is really seeking after God. No one understands. So even though he might speak to them and talk to them, they don't understand. They have no desire, in essence, to understand, to learn what he was telling them. It was something different, so they were listening for a while until they find out more, and then they really don't want to understand. The point being is that that's basically a nature of mankind, but we're living in a world today where that's at a level that is exceedingly high because of technology, because of mankind, because of how the world is being moved in a particular direction. And it's being moved there as a whole by a spirit world. And God is allowing it all for a purpose, all by design. So there's none who seeks after God. They're all gone out of the way because they don't want God's way. They go their own way. That's the point of it all. They're all together becoming unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Now, this is pretty tough for someone to hear this. There's no one who's doing good, no, not one. So if you look at the world and look at other people and look at situations, people don't think that way. They think they're doing good. There are a lot of people who, in their minds, on a physical level, are seeking to do a good, a type of good. They're good. But it's not God's. And there is a vast difference between God's good and the good of this world and what people do. Their throat is an open sepulcher. Now, it's really getting tough what he's saying here. And what's being spewed out and what people talk about and how they think. It's not God's way. And that's very, very difficult for the human mind to come to grasp, and sometimes even within God's church. It takes time to see and understand such things. With their tongues, they have used deceit. It's carnal human nature. But to admit those things in life about oneself, about how we are as far as our nature is concerned, it's very difficult. The poison of asps is under their lips, and whose mouth, it says, is full of cursing and bitterness. Pretty tough things he's saying here. About human nature, about how people are. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Now, people don't put themselves in this category. Someone who is doing that on a literal scale, that's a different matter. But people in the world, just like today, they don't see they're guilty of this. Their feet are swift to shed blood. So it's difficult for people to grasp and understand how God holds individuals accountable for things, for choices, and so forth that they make in life. And I'm going back to something I'd said earlier about things that are taking place as far as this nation is concerned, as far as borders are concerned, and trafficking is concerned, human trafficking, and all the kinds of things fentanyl? That's being brought in. They got a whole bunch of it here recently in Texas, saying that they have, just in that area alone, they have seized enough to kill every person in New York. It's insanity. All the stuff that's coming into this country. And if people don't act upon that when they have the ability to address some of those kinds of things, this is what they're guilty of. It's what they're guilty of. When they have the ability to address something and they keep quiet about it, or they shift their focus onto something else and saying, well, that's too large, we can't do this, we can't do that, but yet they can if they quit focusing on something else that they want as a benefit to themselves or to their party or whatever it might be, rather than to the benefit of all the people that they're supposed to be serving. Hope you understand what I'm saying here. As far as an attitude and a spirit that's in this world, swift to shed blood. That's pretty rank. It really is. And yet, in order to compromise, in order to get one's own way, people do things that are really hideous when it comes down to it. Have the ability to address something else that's really important and won't do it? You're guilty. Destruction and misery are in their ways. So by winking the eye, by not addressing things that people have power to or can support, this is what happens. Destruction and misery. And it's on the increase. Saw an article here the other day, what level of truth there is, but some reports out of a particular military base that weapons are finding their way from certain individuals within that base into Chicago area. How sick can the world be because of greed, because of desire for money? These things go on all the time. People smuggling in guns because it's a huge area to sell them, because people are trying to protect themselves, and on it goes, or others want it because of foul purposes and so forth. And the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God in their eyes. And that's the whole point. It goes in full circle here. None understands. None seeks after God. They're really not trying to. When something is said that is true and right, people don't really want to hear it. They really don't. And that's gotten a whole lot worse just in a few years. And the whole point being is there's no fear of God. It's basically gone as far as how people might have been at another time or how they actually were, where some would wonder or be concerned when they heard certain things being stated, like what we've experienced in God's church. As an example, with one book, there was a fear that some of these things could be true. Today, you could pump that book out by the millions upon millions and millions. People don't care. They refuse to listen to God. That's a choice. That's why the world has to come to what it is, to be as bad as it's going to get. And that's why we're covering some of these things. And also because of where we're going to go as a church, where God is leading us and what we're doing, what we're going to be focusing upon, and basically coming full circle again for a purpose, by design. God has brought us full circle. So before going on to the next step in this series, those are the verses we covered, but again, just thinking about the way the world is compared to what it was 10, 12 years ago even. So before continuing on the next step in the series, we're going to go back and review something else that was said a little earlier in this series. With Christ's first coming into the world as the Passover of mankind, we see how God worked to prepare a people in a small part of the world. So we went through those things. In Judea, to indeed receive his son as just that, their Passover. So there was a lot of work that went into this. It started with John the Baptist. That's how it all began. God was working with a family there, John the Baptist that was born, John the Baptist that was reared in a certain way, went to begin to teach the things he taught. and then Christ following that. But he was paving the way for those things of what was to take place, and a spirit and a mindset that began to be preached in the world, something that others hadn't heard in the same way with the teachers of Judaism at that time. John the Baptist was different. And then Christ coming along and teaching the things that he was teaching. And so this took a period of time here to accomplish, to do what God was going to do. Going on reading what was stated in that particular series. But look at what we just covered. It took some incredible events that were miraculous in nature to bring as many as it did to the point of being moved by God's Spirit to seek repentance and baptism. This wasn't a small thing, especially in the world at that time, because they were resisting. People were resisting because of the Roman rule, and yet some were so oppressed by that, they were willing to listen. But as far as the leadership, as far as others, whether it be in religion or in the government there who had favor in the sight of the Romans to control and so forth, they didn't want it. They didn't want anything to do with the possibility that a Messiah was coming, though they knew of those scriptures that talked about a Messiah. Others were aware of them as well, and they began to believe in different areas to a point. And the more that they heard of or saw the things that Christ did, the more that they were drawn into that. Until he died, and then a lot of those went by the wayside. And then it took up to the time of Pentecost, finally, for more to be moved once again, to be brought back into that mindset of thinking, a willingness to receive because of what they saw, because of what they were witnessing on that day that we went through as well in the series. But there were many more who were not moved, and they only sought to mock those miraculous events because they were so hardened of heart. It was about themselves. It was about their feelings of what might happen to them, to their families, by the Roman government if they were to move away from this. And they enjoyed this favor they were receiving. They were in power because of another government. I hate politics. I hate this kind of thinking. We need to hate and loathe this kind of thinking where people will compromise and do other things in order to get their way or to have favor or to have wealth or to have power. And yet some of these same kinds of things have happened in God's church through time, because the reality is when it comes to this point in time within God's church in times past and things we've experienced, we are growing on a spiritual plane, and God helps us to see that spirit and that mind. And others who got caught up in it and lived a way that was wrong, others God was helping to learn to see. They were coming to see and understand, this isn't right. And many people just frankly quit because of that, because of all that they saw that was wrong. They couldn't handle it. It's tough, tough journey. It's not easy. So we're able to grasp to see the different stages of how the human mind can become hardened of heart, and how that can become far, far worse depending on the environment, depending on what is taking place in a particular region at a particular time. And become so hardened, it can come to a point where it's nearly impossible, if not impossible. And it does become impossible for some to listen. To be so hardened, no matter what happens around them, no matter what miraculous things they see, they won't change. They won't listen. They won't turn away from their ways. They won't accept what's right in front of them. And some of them saw and knew of some incredible things that they knew that no man could do. How could anyone? The height of the things that he did at the very end, to call one out of the grave, to walk wrapped in white, in the cloth that was wrapped around his body. Then he told them to loosen them, to take those things off of him. Incredible what happened to Lazarus. They knew full well there was absolutely no excuse not to listen to Christ. And so point being is, again, we're now at a point in a massive way throughout the world where people won't listen. And there's going to be a lot that has to happen before God's kingdom can become established. So it's going to take so very much to bring people back from the edge of going too far, because it's like in the time of Noah again, where people were going so far in spirit and mind to reject God, so hardened of heart that they didn't want anything to do with God, but instead would mock and make fun of it. But anyway, I'm having a little bit of a difficult time in some of this because there are some areas here that I don't know exactly when to go into it, or it'll all come out as we go along here, but we're going to address some incredible things as we go along here. And we're going to pause and go through some things here that hopefully will be inspiring as we continue to go through it. Some things that I was going to say for the Feast of Tabernacles this year. But basically, this is a process that I have to work through because I don't have anyone that I can go to and talk to and say, what about this and what about that and how do I address this matter? God has to show me, because Herbert Armstrong didn't have anyone he could go to tell him, this is what you're supposed to do. He had to rely 100% on God Almighty, on Christ, leading and guiding and directing him and giving those things in his mind in order to give to the church. And he did that. So it's a unique situation. It's a unique thing to go through. And myself, in this particular case, beginning there, there's a process I have become accustomed to that I know how God works with me. And later on, I'll get to where some of this even started in Scripture. But when God points out something and makes it very clear, this is what you're to address, it's just like 2008. Knew that was the year, a pivotal year, but didn't know what it was all about yet by any measure. And still learning about it. It's an incredible process we go through sometimes. And so God is bringing us full circle. And there are things that I have to keep going back to, I am to address. And it's not comfortable. It wasn't comfortable then. It's not comfortable now. But I'm still going to follow through and do it. As God's end time apostle, I find it very interesting and in many ways very exciting to see what God is having us focus on at this time, especially right now around Pentecost and where we're headed toward the fall season as well. But in the scope of where we are as a church and what God is doing in his church and where we are in the world at this time. And we're going to spend some time reviewing a section of the book, 2008, God's Final Witness, and especially in chapter 4. And I would prefer that you hear the sermon and what I have to say about it as we go through it, rather than you're going into it and reading it on yourself after services, because that won't be good for you. It's better to hear what's being said as we go along. And there are reasons for that. We're going full circle. We're coming back to 2008, God's Final Witness. Every book has had a purpose and where it's led us to at this point in time. And this is a particular area that God wants me to focus upon again. I want to mention, too, that many people in God's church right now are being bombarded, okay? It's becoming much stronger out there. The spirit world is very stirred up. They're aware of certain things that God is doing at different times. And as we go through this, it's going to get stirred up more. And you need to be on guard. You need to be close to God, because we're going to head into a time that scripturally isn't good, not even for God's church. And God has protected us from that, and that's in the sense of not addressing it more in times past. Because the reality is, toward the end, it gets a whole lot harder for God's people. It doesn't get easier. because of the world, because of things that are going to take place, and because of things that are going to become known and things that are going to be said as time continues on. And because of that, we are who we are. And we have opportunity to stand in an awesome way for God's way of life, for God's truth, but it doesn't mean it's going to be easy. And we've been prepared for this for a long time. So, please understand that there's a spirit world out there right now that's really, really stirred up. It's already infecting the world. It's been out there for some time, working in a very powerful way. And it's going to continue to do so, and it's just going to get worse and worse. It's not going to get better. We know that. We understand that. The things that are taking place, the unrest, the rattling of sabers, it's increased so much in this year, it's deafening. Every Sabbath I could get up here and go through headlines that are dumbfounding in what people are saying in different nations, what they're threatening, and so forth. Just like the things coming out of Turkey right now. This is not a small thing that's taking place in that part of the world. Threatening to go in because of what is taking place there in Gaza and the West Bank and with Israel and primarily Jerusalem, that a power is talking about taking in forces to take control of certain areas, primarily Jerusalem. Well, there's a spirit world behind all that, and the individuals who are being moved by that spirit, they're going to do things that are unheard of as time goes forward. That's why there is so much talk right now over there and rhetoric taking place about getting this country out of the two bases, the main bases that are being used over there for supplies, for air traffic, for everything else that's going into Afghanistan and other areas. So it's a pivotal point in that respect. So again, incredible things that are taking place. And what's amazing is in one of those bases, there's debate as to how much there is there. They have a lot of nuclear weapons. And we've come to a point in time where the insanity of this world and the insanity of some leaders that might use such devices or try to take control of such devices is there. It's already there. And someday this world is going to be turned upside down. Where it begins, we don't fully know, because God isn't going to give way to the knowledge of all those things until it happens. We know that certain things are going to happen, like to this country alone. Anyway, it's important to understand that, again, many are being bombarded and attacked by an evil spirit world. And I say that so that you will take it soberly and so that you will seek to draw closer to God, because the only way to come through, to fight such things, is by God in you, God in Christ living their lives in you, because you desire that and you want that so much in your life. You want their spirit in that life, not to leave you, not to be cut off from you because of sin. So it's a time that life is to be cleansed, indeed, to be sanctified for God's use, for God's purpose. That's what it's about in this end time and where we're headed. So again, to understand greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. That is our strength. That is our life. And God will give the protection and the help, which will be future sermons that are coming, things that God wants us to focus upon. So, again, the attack is especially upon those who have come in since the apostasy, been baptized since the apostasy. And there are awesome reasons for that. Awesome, what God is showing. Encouraging one respect, but not easy on the other. Under the section, the seven thunders of the sixth seal. Now, we go through a maturing process, even of what we refer to as present truth, that even through some of the things here, and I'll mention them as we go along, that only by beginning to address certain things does God later on begin to help us to focus even stronger and have greater clarity of what he's revealing, because we can't see everything all at once. He doesn't teach us that way. He doesn't train us that way. He begins to work with us to see certain things, to grasp certain things, until some of the basics or the foundation of that is laid in us. And then comes back and begins to build upon it more and more and more. And it's a beautiful thing. It truly is. But he can't just have the whole thing. You can't just have the whole thing all at once. You can't have the structure, because there are things you have to experience. There are things you have to go through, because that's part of the process of the building, time and experience. In the last chapter, it was shown that the sixth seal is a transitional period. It concludes the spiritual phase of God's plan to finish his work of final training and sealing of those few still living who will be added to complete the 144,000 and be in his new government. This is an awesome thing. For six millennia, God has been molding and preparing a government to rule in righteousness over all the earth for 1,000 years. Now, where each of us is, what God has called each of us for, we don't always know or understand. But to understand that before the apostasy, we grasp quite well that there is a body that God has been working with of individuals to be prepared for and be part of 144,000. Within what follows after that, we have primarily focused on those who have the opportunity to live into a new age and to be a part of the millennium. And those things are in God's control and God's choosing for whatever God's purpose is, and thank God for it. Whatever he's called us to, we're exceedingly blessed. We truly are. I want to... I'm going to turn over here to a section of Revelation chapter 3. Going to back up a little bit in time and talk about the era of Philadelphia, where God began to work with an apostle to raise up a church for the end time, and a work that was to continue on, and a work that he was to do specifically for the purpose God was going to do in that era. And then another era that would follow that of something that was to happen within a large church and within an organization, to teach lessons that could be learned in no other way, that can be used throughout the millennium and the great white throne as the pinnacle in one respect, in one manner, of lessons that can be taught, the height of those things all the way from the time of Satan's rebellion all the way through to the rebellion of those who were begotten of God's Spirit on a massive plane. Lessons that are going to be able to be grasped more clearly because of going through the history of those things from the time of Lucifer and what he chose all the way up to God's church, and each one, and especially when we talk about what took place before the apostasy, indeed are some of the greatest lessons that can ever be taught, that mankind can ever learn, of what we're capable of, even with the impregnation of God's Spirit. People can turn from God and turn against God, because it's happened, massively so. And God doesn't owe his way of life to anyone. You have got to want it with all your being and willing to sacrifice. That's what we said at baptism. My life is yours to do with it as you will, Holy Father. What else could one want in life? What else can you have in life that's richer, that's better than that? What do you have if you don't have God's church? And many have gone a different way, and they don't have God's church right now. What a horrible, horrible thing. And so we're learning. The heart can become hardened, and people can turn away from what is true. And what is at the end? Only God's family. Everything else will perish for all time. What's the comparison? Where's the balance in that? Should be a no-brainer. But we have choices to make. And God is going to know what is in here to the depth of our being, what is in here to the depth of our being, what we want with all of our being, to know us, to know we are the same. We want that mind, that life. We agree with it. We are wrong. He is right. And we want that way. We want that mind and that thinking. Anyway, going back here to the Philadelphian era, and to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts and shuts and no one opens. Awesome what God did. Opened up a work so powerful, so incredible, to accomplish what it did with so few. Some of these church organizations that have hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people, millions, weren't able to accomplish at all what was accomplished in the worldwide Church of God through Herbert Armstrong's leadership. A magazine to have its circulation that it did, to have the radio, the telecast, to the degree that it did throughout the world. Incredible. And they didn't come close to accomplishing. God opened a door, and no people tried. Organizations tried. Church organizations tried to close it down. The government tried to close it down and shut it. Couldn't do it. Because God had a purpose. And God said, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts and shuts and no one opens. And what happened? After the apostasy, nearly every organization that got started out here as a splinter group wanted to open up to continue on what they thought they had to do because they didn't believe that God finished a work through his servant, Herbert Armstrong. That was the bottom line. They didn't believe it. So they tried to open it up. They wanted to have the magazine. They wanted to have the names. Look at the names that people have chosen because they wanted to mimic. They wanted to. I think of one individual that told somebody one time, a certain group would pop up, oh, there they go, fishing in Herbert's pond. That's what people were doing here. It's like, okay, throw something out, and some of those who are scattered out there, because people weren't coming in out of the world. They were coming in out of different groups of people who were scattered. Incredible. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it, for you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Now, we've had sermon after sermon on things like this and how it applies, but really quite exciting, a little strength. Not a big organization compared to the world, who have millions in some of these organizations out here. Incredible. A little strength, a little power. And look what God did with it. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not. Well, who's that? So much of the world who call themselves Christian and are not. And what started back in 325 AD with greater power and strength because of a government, because it was a state government, because the leader said this is the way it's going to be. I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. So we know what this is about. What a beautiful, what an awesome thing. Beautiful. To understand what God was saying to his people who were faithful at this time, but especially to the one as a whole. When it says the angel to the church, it's a word that means messenger as well. It's not specifically, doesn't have to be just only an angel. The messenger. Well, there was a messenger to this particular era in that respect that God used in a very powerful way to do a work and directed toward him and toward those who fulfilled what they did during this time. Because you have kept my, backing up here, I'll make those a synagogue of Satan who say they are not Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet. So there's coming a time, and we know when that is. You talk about a period of time of those who live on in the millennium, and he's resurrected, and those who have come out of that particular group of people at that time of fellowship, and they're resurrected, and anyone who is alive, these are in the God family. To come and worship before my feet, your feet, whatever, and to know that I have loved you. Something we as God's people need to understand more than ever before. What is still going on at this point in time, God's primary focus is on his people. He has molded and fashioned things within nations to bless his people, to mold and fashion his people. It's not about the magnitude of size. It's about the people at any point in time. And if you go through history and see different ones, certain things happen to teach, to have things prepared as a type that would be fulfilled later on. But all through history, through time, over 6,000 years, you can look at different periods of time and see how God worked with different ones. And sometimes, frankly, a lot of times, it involved dealing with nations and what was going to happen to them and their impact on the molding and fashioning of his people. Look at what happened in Egypt. You think God didn't have an incredible part in it? I'm not talking about Moses here at this point, but even that. What took place there? Molded and fashioned events of an entire nation, destroyed a nation, basically, because of what he was doing through that man and what was to be taught in others as well, but primarily through him at that time. And Joseph, incredible stories. Sometimes we just don't grasp how important God's family is. And what it takes to mold and fashion his family, a creation that's ongoing. Awesome. To me, that's so beautiful. Think of that sometimes, thinking about the Sabbath day. It focuses on the Creator and that creation is still going on today. And the greatest part of that creation is still going on today because it's the creation of Elohim, not a physical universe, not a physical planet here that we're on, that we're blessed to live on. It's about why all these things exist so that he can mold and fashion his family that are living on it. And so he does mold and fashion and cause things to happen with certain nations in order to mold and fashion certain experiences and things in us, in our minds, in our being. And he loves us with incredible love. And we shouldn't doubt any of those kinds of things or second guess those things in any fashion or form, but to understand who we are, God's church, God's people. Who cares what others think and what the world thinks? We should know who we are. And we know we're a remnant. God wanted us. He wanted a remnant to exist, not a large body, a small, tattered body, to reveal more powerfully than ever before. Not by might nor by power, but by his Spirit. He's doing it. Awesome that we're blessed to be a part of something so incredibly great. And your mind, my mind, can't grasp how great that is. But we're to strive to. We truly are. Because you have kept my command to persevere. Reminds us of that from time to time. It wasn't just for that era, because there was a time within the body, within the church, because of a lack of, we just weren't, God hadn't given it yet. We hadn't grown to that point yet to grasp, still thought that there were going to be two eras all the way up to the apostasy, basically, as a whole within the church. The two eras were going to exist. Frankly, by the time we got the apostasy, people didn't even believe there were church eras. I mean, that was long gone. That wasn't taught by the ministry at all as a whole. That there are eras in God's church. They'd gone by the wayside. We'd become so weak. And so God tells us, you can take lessons out of every era of the church and learn from it. And God's had us focus recently on this one here. Persevere. Because you have kept my command. A command? If we're going to fulfill Israel, yeah, God commands us. A way of life to live, a way of thinking, to hold on to truth that he's given to us, to hold on to the things he has sacrifice to give to us, and we're to persevere. Beautiful. So we focus on Israel recently and what we're to become. And then it means to persevere. And are we fulfilling the name? God has commanded us to. It's not just a matter of a command, and it's a matter of what we want. That's what we desire. We don't look at it as a do and don't, and if I don't do that, then no. That's my mind. It's what I want. It's not a hardship. It's not a difficulty. There are people who have looked at God's laws and God's church who have felt like this is oppression. This is hard to do. Well, some things are difficult in life, and that's where the battle is. Do you want it? Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. I am so thankful that he was spared from that. I am so thankful he didn't have to see the results of Laodicea. So thankful he didn't have to see all the evangelists he had taught make the decisions that they made as a whole against God, against God's people, against God's church. Not every one of them, but the overwhelming majority of them. So glad he didn't have to see that, because that kind of thing cuts deep, because that's betrayal to the nth degree, and those things hurt. Behold, I am coming quickly. God means what he says. Now, right now, because of a particular scripture that I'll talk about at some other time, this means a lot to me, what's being said here. Behold, I'm coming quickly. We don't tend to think that way. We tend to think it's been a long time. It's been a long time since we began. It's been a long time since I first heard of these things. It's been a long time. Every car I've ever had, my wife and I, we talk about it. It's just the last one. Because we have believed through time as a whole, this is likely the last one. And all your decisions based on that kind of thinking, that we're that close. But God is working things out in his time, and we know that that time is getting less and less. But we've had to go through some pretty tough things, much because of what was written in a book, much because of where we were at that particular time, that we experienced certain things that couldn't be experienced any other way. And God allowed that in our lives by design. And so some of those things, sometimes the harder something is to grapple with and to deal with and to focus upon and to wait on God, can take a lot with the human mind. It truly does. And it goes back to conviction. It goes back to truth, what we see, what we know, what we believe, and how we're living our lives. Or whether we're flirting around with human nature, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and letting certain things get in the way, drama in life that we can get pulled away by around us and begin to let down on seeking after God and crying out to God and looking to God for guidance and direction in our everyday life. And that's happened to so many. And it still attacks within the body. I was about to say something. Oh, yes. Behold, I'm coming quickly. Going back through right now, writing some things concerning Mr. Armstrong, Herbert Armstrong, because I'm dumbfounded by how the world has looked at various things and will not even listen to certain things, and yet he was inspired to write certain things concerning Europe and what was going to happen in Europe, and to realize it wasn't until 2 years ago now that the final structure of what he said would come to pass has come to pass. The structure is there for Europe. 10 nations that have agreed to that structure. And whether they're the final 10, maybe not, probably not. But there are 10 there. Could be, we don't know yet. But to even be talking about it and the fact that the design is there, what an awesome thing. Something that started out with a common market that became the European Union, starting in 1957. Didn't happen right away when he started preaching about it, talking about it. Took several years, only 7 years. And then it wasn't until after he died that the euro came into existence, 1999. Was it 13 years after his death? Incredible. And yet he told about that, but it didn't happen right away. And so God has time that he's given us to live within, and certain things he reveals at various times. And on it goes of, again, things that happened in Europe, and then this military power that just in 1999, finally, I mean 2019, news in Europe carrying it. And so I look at this and I think, I'm coming quickly. In the scheme of 6,000 years, a 70-year period of time is quick. It's very quick. And yet it's a lifespan of a human being as a whole. 70 years, 70 years. Hold fast what you have. So I began in Philadelphia. Some of you began in Philadelphia. God began to mold and fashion you at that time. This is still the message for my life. It's still the message for your life, even if you weren't called until later. Very much so on this one here, because of what God is saying, because this is leading up to the very end. Hold fast what you have. What do we have? Truth. How many people just since 2008 have gone by the wayside? Let's say double our size at least, minimum. I haven't really gone back to count it, but I would say at least double our size have gone by the wayside over that period of time. Come and gone, or gone. Some that were in Philadelphia, gone. Whole, and if you want to go back even further, those who became a part of a remnant into a few thousand, come and gone. I am coming quickly, hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. Because for those called at Philadelphia, the opportunity, the blessing, and those in the eras before that, was one to become a part of 144,000. That's what it was about. And the vast majority of them won't be. The vast majority of all those in that period of time will not be. So an incredible warning. Don't let anyone take your crown. Because it's an opportunity to be a part of something so great because of what you go through in life. We shouldn't do it in order to get, but to understand how great it is. God wants us to grasp how awesome this is, how great it is of what he has offered in a calling before he begins to work with those who are drawn out of the millennium and before those who are resurrected in the great white throne. He who overcomes means conquers. So there's a fight. You have to persevere. You can't quit. You can't let down. You can't give up. What do people give up for? Some of the stupidest of things. When you compare it to what God is offering, it really is stupid, insane, not a sound mind. But people can become weak by letting down and continually flirting with human nature and not crying out for God. We have quite a history, brethren. We truly do. Oh, I was going to tell you. The reason I'm focusing on those things about Herb Armstrong because what I'm writing is in chapter 1 of a new book. Okay? going to be one more book, if God wills. So this one here is... anyway. There's a maturity that will be in this one, and a primary message that will be there when it's all said and done. You're a nation that will not listen to God. And that's to every nation on earth. That's the proof of it all, and that's the last that has to be said, because that's the last thing to say before God brings everything to pass. And we likely have some time in front of us. How fast can that be? Could be a Pentecost. Could be any Pentecost. I don't know. But certain things would seem to indicate it's going to be a little longer. So I know that's just what everyone wants to think about. But the reality is God has brought us through a particular period of time, and if we hadn't gone through every stage we've gone through, there would be far more who would be gone right now. It truly would be. We have to realize that God has worked with us at different times and different ways because it's for our good. It's about us. It's about the church. And to me, that's exciting. Just like the thunders, certain things have happened over a period of time that helps us to realize these things aren't normal. And it gives us the strength, though it be hard and difficult to see these things happening in the earth. Nevertheless, a thunder is a thunder. Behold, I am coming quickly, hold fast that you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. So that's to all of God's people through all time. And with all the eras of the church, this would be a message to all of God's people through time. And it is to us now, at this time. And he shall go out no more, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem. Israel, New Jerusalem, Zion, Mount Zion. That's what we desire. That's what we seek. Which comes down out of heaven from God, from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. So, again, it's all about being called to become a part of God's family. And I guess probably one of the important things to grasp today of what's being talked about, because we are on the Pentecost weekend, and it's about the 144,000 in large part. We understand it's about the day of God's law being given, the day of God's Spirit being given to mankind so that we can live that way of life, because without it, we can't live God's way. And so all the things that are taught, and then to understand the things about the wave sheaf and the wave loaves that God has blessed us to tie together in a very powerful way, the farther on we've gone in time here and what he's been reinforcing and strengthening and teaching and giving us anew within the church has been awesome. And so quite an appropriate time, I think, to also mention that there are people who right up to 2008, this very thing happened. Let no man take your crown. It's happened toward the end here. So what does that mean? It's offered to someone else. We have had enough time now, always talked about how that when God works with people, it takes a lot of time. It can take a lifetime to grow, to change, to be molded in fashion. And God can work with that too in ways to speed up the process. He worked some of those things in times past, in Scripture as well, that can be seen to make it very clear that he prepared people for certain jobs because he worked with them well before they were begotten of his Holy Spirit. He molded and fashioned them ahead of time, different things, so that when they did receive his Spirit, things could be done in them very powerfully so, more quickly. Because the reality is we're not all prepared for the same thing and what's molded and fashioned in us. You know, some things in a building take longer to fit into shape. And anyway, that's another story. The point being in all this is that I believe that in every way that God is showing that there are those who came along because of those things that were written in that book and the one before to be worked with to have those crowns. So whether we're called to be a part of 144,000 or to live on in the millennium, it's God's plan and God's purpose of what he molds and fashions within us. But what an awesome thing to know and to consider that God is working with others. And you know what? It's all about them being sealed. And that's what was written in this, of a period of time that we were to go through, and a sealing has to be complete. And God has taught us a lot about this over time. And now we've come to a point to realize the time we have, is for that to be accomplished. Because it was purposed and allowed that there would be individuals who had opportunity, who even toward the end rejected God. From 2008, started so much of it, to 2013 as a whole. And what took place in that period of time that was difficult for God's people? It was difficult for me. Anyway, very difficult for my wife. I remember Johnny and Myrtle and Laura letting me out at a building, had wire all around and barbed wire. The hardest thing I've ever done in my life was to leave that car and walk that walk. But I learned a lot through that process, and God's church was being molded and fashioned through that process. And no need to go into more of that, but anyway, to me this is exciting what God is revealing, and what an awesome time this should come out the day before Pentecost. Awesome. And what he's revealing to the church, there are people being worked with, and we have time, and God has given us time, that maybe we would like to have things happen a lot quicker, and it would make life easier sometimes, we would think, and we know, if we don't have to live this human life anymore, in this world anymore, but in a new world. And so we want that with all of our being. But to get from here to there, it's in God's hands, in God's timing. And he reveals a little bit at a time to us, not everything all at once, because we have experiences of things that some can deal with and some don't, because even within that process, there are those who have made choices that were in front of them, that were offered, that they've rejected. That's a horrible thing, but it's happened a lot over the past 2,000 years. So I'm going to read it again here. The seven thunders of the sixth seal. In the last chapter, it was shown that the sixth seal is a transitional period. Now, in the beginning, for all that I saw to this point in time, the duration of the sixth seal was up to the seventh and it was over. But God quickly, it wasn't very long, and God revealed, no, this is to go on until Christ returns, basically. That there were things to happen as far as matters of the seven thunders all through this period of time. So anyway, so that was something that was revealed to us and clarified as we went through a few years of time here. So going on here, it concludes the spiritual phase of God's plan to finish his work of final training and sealing of those few still living who will be added to complete the 144,000 and be in his new government. Awesome. Beautiful. And went on to say, this is an awesome thing. Exclamation mark. For six millennia, God has been molding and preparing a government to rule in righteousness over all the earth for 1,000 years. Do we ever need that? Mankind can't rule in righteousness. He can't judge in righteousness. Every legal system you look at is corrupted because of human nature, because people have bias. You can't help it. People can't help it, what they are. And the very best of what they have been able to build is not God's. And it's filled with hurt, pain, suffering, injustice, corruption, because that's the way of the world. going on. As we approach the end of the spiritual phase of God's work, a physical phase of destruction has begun in the world. It's steadily increasing in frequency and magnitude. And a lot of the timing of this and things when they've happened, it's been about God's church, even there. This escalating destruction throughout the world is a forewarning of far greater destruction to follow once the seventh seal is open. So who can receive that? Only the church, not the world. They can't receive this. So it's still about God molding and fashioning his people. Now, also when going back to this point in time when this was written, to understand about the seventh seal. The ideas of those things of times past, of where we were, what we understood, as far as timing and events that were to take place, and how one thing would follow another, there were certain things that were still a part of thinking as far as the great tribulation, quote-unquote, of something that was to happen for 3.5 years, which still may be. Whatever is in God's timing, so be it. But we'll learn as time goes along. But we did learn in that respect that the opening of the seventh seal happened, it took place, but it was about the announcing of the events. It was about the proclaiming of the events, not the beginning of the happening of the events. And that was a process we had to go through, that God helped us to learn that, to understand that. To me, that is very exciting and inspiring to grasp and understand how God taught us that. Going on, before the horror of that final worldwide destruction strikes the earth, you have a short time in which you can heed, in other words, listen to the warnings. And so the world doesn't care, only those in God's church. To heed the warnings of this book and respond to God in an appropriate manner. Now, more at least in the world, because we had bukus of books that were being sent out and what was being downloaded on the internet in the different languages. It was incredible what was taking place with just that one book. And it went out and people were at least of a mindset, for whatever reasons at that time, to contemplate, to think about a term, God's final witness, the end time. And there were things happening in the world and being said in the world as well, even in traditional Christianity, about the end time, more at that time. And so the curiosity of people of something being written was at a heightened point. And so, again, God using that in a very powerful way, because he molded and fashioned it all anyway, to teach us what he's been teaching us and to lead and guide and direct in the way he's been leading, guiding, and directing. So more at least listen back then, even within the world. But today, there's a little bit going on, but it's so minimal, it's horrible. It really is. And not even a large number of people within the church have continued to listen since that time. Incredible. So if they can't hear, can't listen, can't continue on, we live in a world that's becoming more hardened of heart. It's all around us, truly is. Going on this, in what was written here, the sooner people respond, again, because of having first listened, the sooner people respond to God, the better prepared they can be for what lies ahead. And most important of all, they will be more likely to receive favor and help from God. Now, the world is still, and there wouldn't be people jarred into this, but it's going to be a hard jarring. It truly is. Hence the reason about why we're going to be addressing some of the things we're still going to address in the series. However, it's important to understand two vital points. God does not owe favor or help to anyone. Therefore, it's wise to seek him early and in a genuine spirit. And I think of the church. We have the opportunity, but God doesn't owe it. Therefore, it's wise to seek him early and in a genuine spirit. So, truthful, genuine spirit. That's something that we're in control of as far as God's people and God's calling is concerned. And yet, throughout the period of time in the church, I have known of too many, so many, who have not been of a genuine spirit, who have not been true and truthful. And a genuine spirit, so that he might have mercy upon you. Secondly, everyone on earth will experience some suffering through the destructive times that are just ahead. Not a person is going to escape. We live in that kind of a world. And God's going to allow us to experience some of those things. Not to the degree that the vast majority are going to, because of what's going to take place. But we still are to experience certain things. We are a witness of this period of time. Though the blessings and the rewards and the favor that God is placing before us are so incredible, nevertheless, there are other things He's molding and fashioning in us that will come as a result of the experience. I could tell you what they are. And hopefully we grasp much of what that would be because of such an experience. But without experiencing it, you wouldn't have it to the degree you're going to be able to have it and to have the kind of recognition you're going to have later on. Not in God's family, because that will be of a mind that has nothing physical in it as far as lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is concerned, because that's gone when you're spirit, when you're filled with God's life. But to live on into that new age, to handle all that still as a human, what we're going to experience will prepare us for that. That's important, because it's massive, it's mighty what God is offering and what He's placing before us to live on into that age, if that's the purpose of what He's molding and fashioning within us. Because there's a need for both from out of God's church. So again, secondly, everyone on earth will experience some suffering through the destructive times that are just ahead. And so when we go through things, it's not all of a sudden to think, why am I suffering? Why is this happening to me? Why I'm living God's way of life? I understand it ahead of time. It's going to happen. It's part of God's purpose and plan. Those who do not have God's favor will experience great suffering, and most will die. You think that's not a pleasant thing to talk about. That's not a pleasant thing to have to say. But it's something that has to come to pass, because there is no other way for human beings to have the kind of heart, the kind of mind broken to where it will humble itself and begin to listen to God, because it's only in that process, through whatever it takes, for God to be able to begin to work in someone's life, to offer them awesome and great things. Otherwise, they are a miscarriage in life. And so there are those things that happen in physical life, and there will be those things in spirit, or the potential for spirit life. And even within spirit life, because there are those who have been begotten of God's Spirit that will be miscarried because they're not going to be allowed into God's family. If we don't want and desire God with all of our being and cry out to God with all of our being and fight for this way of life and seek to conquer and overcome and live by the name of Israel, to persevere in this physical life, who are we? Why would God give us something so great? It works against His purpose and plan unless we're of the same mind or desire to be of the same mind. Therefore, to survive the most difficult time in all human history, it would be wise to seek God's favor and help early if you want to have opportunity to live into a new world of wonderful prosperity and righteous government. Long for that day. By contrast, the governments of man are filled with lies, corruption, special interest, excessive taxation, bloated bureaucracy, oppression, red tape, favoritism, injustice, bickering, fighting, warmongering, selfishness, egotism, pride, thirst for money and power, and on it goes. It's really ugly. Human nature is. And this world is really ugly. Can you imagine a one-world government that is void of such oppressiveness and pettiness? And you look around today and you think, there's so much pettiness out there. It's dumbfounding. And there's a reason why God is bringing all this to the surface. Things that have been pressed down or suppressed in times past and perhaps dealt with on the surface and a bigger Band-Aid applied in different times is now coming to the surface, and it's ugly. But it's God's purpose to bring it all to the surface so we can see it. And at one point, at some point, people in the world will begin to see it, how bad it really was, instead of loving it, as too many do today, because that's all they have. They don't have God. They don't know God. They don't know what God is offering. So how can they make comparison? But when they begin to hear and to know what's coming and what's there, what an incredible change can take place. But to get to that point, it's not easy. That's why I love what God says when he says, when Christ returns with 144,000 as a great army, and he states it as an army for a purpose, because an army is there to destroy, to fight, to kill. That's why it's an army. It's not just a lot of people or a lot of beings coming. They're coming for a purpose at the beginning. And it's to destroy those who are destroying the earth. If people won't quit by that time, after everything that's happened, after all the destructive things they've seen on the earth and have caused on the earth, and they keep wanting to war and fight and think that they're going to be able to work through this or fight through this, the best thing that can happen to them is they're destroyed. So the millennium can be established. So that people who want peace, who want to change, who want something that's true and right, can begin to live it. And so God is bringing us through this process right now, even more so within the church, that we are either convicted up here and agree with that totally with all of our being, that there is no other way, that this is the best way of dealing with these things, or not. It's not easy. Going on, can you imagine a one-world government that's devoid of such oppressiveness and pettiness? A government that is genuinely for the people. Everything else is a lie. The destructive escalation during this physical phase of the sixth seal has been likened to a pregnant woman who is in labor pain. God is going to show that there is more to this process written about in Revelation that has never been revealed until now. And God has continued to reveal to the church more and more on these things so that we can better see and understand. And so just the thing about a woman in labor, if we can't see, that's the reason I've read some of the news that I have from time to time. If we can't see the dramatic change that's taken place over the past year, especially, we're missing out in a very, very big way. It should be so abundantly clear to us every time. Now you can actually get blurbs on some of the news stations because it's so massive out there that they can't help but report some things, but not as much as some others that you have to go searching for, but it's out there. But the media things, you really have to dig out because they're in other news or other areas of the world that people are talking about them, but not so much here. Yeah. Here, I've heard so much about COVID that I've been COVID to death. Shot or no shot, I've had COVID up to here. You know, really. All the battles about wearing a mask or not wearing a mask, and all the experts out here, and what everybody and what people choose to believe just makes me sick. Really. Pettiness, stupidity, evil. It really is. And people take sides. Give me a break. Yeah, I'm sorry. The seven thunders. Not only did God close up the meaning and timing for the events of the seven seals of Revelation until they were to be revealed in this prophetic end time, but he also told John not to write about what he heard concerning the seven thunders. God wanted the seven thunders to remain sealed until the very time, till this very time as well. And this is something to me, as I've watched and seen how things have progressed through time, and since writing some of these things back in 2006, beginning there, that came out then, finally, that God is bringing us full circle back to some of these, because this is going to become more of a focus as time goes on here, of things even within the world. But things have happened in the world, and how they're happening, God has been telling us anyway, regarding thunders. God did all this as part of a process through which He would reveal who one of His end-time witnesses was, the one through whom He would fully reveal all that John had written in the book of Revelation concerning this end time. Now, I didn't like writing it then, and I candidly don't like even writing and going into it now, or writing about it again, or focusing upon it again. It's exceedingly uncomfortable, and indeed it really should be, as far as the human mind is concerned. Any other thing wouldn't be spiritually healthy. So, I want to ask at this point here, let me read it again. God did all this as part of a process through which He would reveal who one of His end-time witnesses was, the one through whom He would fully reveal all that John had written in the book of Revelation concerning this end time. So the question is, when will such a thing be known? Clearly, if someone's willing to look at it. Just as much as the stories of those things that happen in Christ's time. Because God's going to do them. It's what God does. So when will they be fully revealed, and when will the absolute evidence be there? Because right now, you could argue about certain things, but it wouldn't do you a bit of good. Because only you have the ability to have such conviction. Others don't. But remember what the thunders are, because they're going to come to pass. All seven are going to come to pass exactly as they're written. Different ones focused upon at different times in different ways. Some happening, the farther it goes, the more pronounced it all becomes. Some happening at the same time, but one always being more pronounced than the other at any specific time. So most of this will not be until the very end, as far as what the world is concerned with. And again, liken that to what God did in the time of Christ, in His first coming. Things didn't happen in a great way until the last 3 weeks. That's when the majority of things took place. So the majority of massive things that can happen in time can happen in a similar manner. Sadly, without massive suffering, the hardness of heart will not allow for a process of humility to even begin in people's lives. But God is going to use what we're going through and what he gave to John to be written about all the things as far as seals, thunders, and trumpets to be accomplished on the earth before He establishes His kingdom. Going on, God gave specific end-time prophecies to John in a vision. John was to write about what he saw, but most of what he wrote was to remain sealed. God predetermined to reveal the meaning and timing of those major prophetic events through His end-time prophet. So again, I'm exceedingly uncomfortable with this. I was pacing up here before services began because I knew I had to go through this. I don't like doing it, candidly. I really don't. But I know where we are in time and what we're supposed to be doing and what we're supposed to be focusing upon. And candidly, a lot of this is to prepare me for what lies ahead as well. So what happened back then prepared me for certain things that God wanted to transpire, had molded in fashion to take place through time here concerning the church primarily. And now we're close to that being going to happen as far as the world is concerned. Going on. God has a twofold purpose for doing this. First, God is going to make a clear distinction in his scattered church between who his true minister is, through whom he is working, and all other ministers with whom he is not working. Which means that others are going to be diminished or destroyed as we go through this. Not a pleasant thing. And something else that God has shown through this process as well is to understand that the scattered church has become exceedingly hardened of heart. There was that period of time where we had this great desire, where I had this great desire, and perhaps if there had been a different time period and people hadn't have gone away from giving up their crown, had remained faithful, but it wasn't meant to be that way. Because of other things that can be learned and taught, just like the apostasy. So, something that God is showing even more so right now is that the scattered body is exceedingly hardened of heart. Whether some will come into a period of time, even to the very end, God hasn't shown that. But far fewer, because of time, because of technology, because of being asleep for so long, and a refusal to admit, to acknowledge certain things that by this time should be so abundantly clear. Who's growing? Who has masses of people coming along and joining and becoming a part, and the things I've understood as far as the past is concerned, there's soundness of mind isn't there. The truth, even on a physical plane, understanding, yes, indeed, when you're asleep, you're asleep. But again, time has gone on for so long that individuals have just become exceedingly hardened of heart. And they wouldn't accept God's witnesses for anything right to their end. That's how hardened of heart people can become, no matter what is done in front of them. No matter what happens in front of them. Be just like the leaders of Judea who wouldn't accept that Joshua was the Christ, the Messiah. And that's how hardened people can become, who have the impregnation of God's Spirit in them, who continue to refuse to acknowledge certain things that should be clearer. How long will it take any of them to get up to 144,000? How long with beliefs that they might have, which so many of them have already lost those things? People had lost the concept, the truth that there were eras, and some who were scattered didn't believe in them anyway afterward. Still didn't believe in eras and what God had done through Herbert Armstrong. So many of them teaching, oh, he was a great teacher, and I learned a lot from him. You want my blood to boil? That's a big one right there. That makes my blood boil. It truly does. To diminish what God did through him, to agree, to say, oh, he was a great teacher, and I learned a lot through him. Absolute liars. Liars to the core of their being. Because everything they had ability to ever learn to know that was true came through what God gave to that man. To reject that, how do you think God takes that? Christ takes that. It's a great betrayal. It truly is. A great betrayal. And because of that betrayal, the heart has become hardened worse and worse and worse as every year has gone by. They're so far gone that they won't listen. They won't listen to anything that should shake them to the core of their being when they see certain things coming to pass that God said would happen at the end, that are yet to happen. So again here, This will serve as one final witness to the church before the devastation of the Great Tribulation strikes the whole world at the opening. Now, we know now that it's the opening event. The trumpets have all blown because it's about the message. Trumpeting the message, it's about the message that God gave of what they represent, of what they are, which God gave in some large part as a whole, the outline of it all, to Herbert Armstrong, and then has indeed come to the point in time where these things have been heralded, I should say, within the church, very powerfully so. No one else can hear it, but the church has. And so again here, before the devastation of the Great Tribulation, so regardless of the period of time, we know what starts with the first trumpet. We know when it's going to begin. It's not going to be a mystery to anyone. And you think, what is a scattered body going to think when that event takes place? This country conquered in the first four trumpets. Blows my mind today how every military scenario that has been run in the past year against China, Russia, different combinations of things, we lose every time. We lose every time. Every military scenario. Now that should scare the you-know-what out of every person in this country. But it's not. It doesn't. Because it's like, they don't really believe that. We're too great. It's like this concept back in 2008. Corporations, banks, they're too big to fail. We're too big. We're too mighty to fail, to not be able to conquer. And yet every scenario that the military has run, we fail. Now, that's sobering. And it's a whole lot worse than what they're admitting, candidly. It really is. Because it doesn't take much to shut us down. Look what it does with one little pipeline. You think some of these things are just a matter of ransomware out there and people wanting some money? It goes a lot deeper than that. There are things, scenarios, countries working at various things that when they do what they're going to do can totally cripple this nation, let alone an EMP. They can do it through the internet in a very powerful way. And if you do all those things at one time, makes it look like what happened in Pearl Harbor, peanuts. We live in scary times, we truly do. And that's what's going to take place. Secondly, God's other purpose for revealing this prophecy in this manner is to make a clear distinction among all religious leaders in the world. God is going to reveal who His true minister is, through whom He is working to proclaim His truth to the world as a final end-time witness, and He will begin to reveal who all the false religious leaders are. Well, what an incredible thing. So even some of this may not begin until later, much later, the fifth seal. But when certain things happen in an exact way, there are going to be those who begin to take note and certain things that are going to be said, and with that comes a lot of persecution, even on God's people. So with that, we better quit because we've got to clear the hall. So with that, we'll gather tomorrow for Pentecost.